I want us to open our Bibles this evening. We're turning in the book of the Psalms, and we're turning to the 51st Psalm. Want to thank you for coming once again to our meeting this evening. Do you remember the meetings? They're quickly passing. It's hard to believe we're through the first half of the first week, and therefore time will go so quickly and out into God's eternity. And we'd ask you to take this upon your heart and pray that God will bless even in the meetings as we continue tomorrow evening in the will of the Lord. Come back again, encourage others to come and invite them under the sound of the Word of God. And I trust that God will give you a burden for the hearts of your loved ones, your friends and your neighbors, and that the Lord will indeed even speak in these meetings as they continue in God's will. Psalm 51, let's read some verses from this passage of God's Word. The psalmist cries out, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies." He cries, "Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, the only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." Let's just bow our heads for a wee word of prayer and ask God to bless us as we come to the meditating and studying of God's precious word. Eternal God and Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank thee that as a Savior from all sin, if we only let him into our hearts, he then will reign while we trust him. And O God, we thank thee and we praise thee that thou hast provided in Christ Jesus a wonderful Savior himself. We thank thee, our God, that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And O God, I pray that by thy Holy Spirit tonight in this tent meeting, that O God, that thou wilt, Lord, take a dealing with hearts, and that there might be a confronting of our hearts with our sin, and we might be come face to face with the reality of our lost estate before thee, a righteous and a holy God. We thank thee that there's mercy with the Lord, and he will surely give you rest while trusting in his word. Only trust him. Only trust him. Only trust him now. He will save you. Hallelujah. Christ will save you now. We thank thee that it was said, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." We thank thee, our God, for that eternal life that there is in Christ. We thank thee that thou didst not come to condemn the world, but that the world through Christ might be saved. Oh God, may salvation reach this tent tonight. We pray that men and women that have come in the darkness of their sin, oh, that they might see the light of the gospel, that it might shine into their hearts. We pray for those who have come in dead in trespasses and in sin. Oh, that tonight that they might find new life in Jesus Christ. Bless us and do us good. Cover the meeting in the precious blood, for we ask these things in Jesus' precious and his lovely name and for his glory. Amen and amen. I wonder, have you ever experienced a pain that wasn't there before? And maybe you've had that pain, and maybe you dismissed it for a moment and you were just hoping that that pain would go away. But something happened, and rather than going away, it didn't. Until one day you had to come face to face with this reality of this pain. You didn't understand what it was or why it was there, and you couldn't push it to a side anymore. And then because of that, you came to this realization, you know, I need to go and find out what this is. I need to go to the doctor. I need to make an appointment and see what really is wrong. Maybe even after saying you should do that, you left it aside just once again, hoping that somehow that pain would disappear. But friend, let me tell you, perhaps the truth of the matter was this: you're afraid to find out what was wrong. You're afraid of that diagnosis, of the doctor telling you something that you really didn't want to hear. Then finally you went along to the doctor's surgery, the appointment was made, and you sat down and you told the doctor about this pain. Doctor, I don't understand. Just came and was suddenly, and how long have you had it for? Maybe, friend, the doctor surprised, well, why didn't you come to me sooner? Well, you know, doctor, I didn't want to annoy you, and I didn't want to trouble you. And so therefore, of course, you make that excuse of why you were not there a good while before that. Then, of course, the doctor examines you. Perhaps he even takes a test, and he said, well, listen, come back in a few days, and I'll tell you what the tests are going to come up with. And friend, you go away, and you say, well, I've done that, and you say, you know, I hope all's well. You're still anxious about that test and what the doctor's going to say. And then you come back, friend, and maybe you listen to what he has to say, and maybe you're relieved, and you say, you know, it wasn't as bad as what I expected it to be. Then I want you to do something with me tonight. I want you to come into God's clinic. And I want you to sit down under God's precious word. And I want God's word to do the examination. And I want you to find out what God sees. You know, whenever you come to the word of God, and whenever you look for the diagnosis that God makes, let me tell you, friend, it's not as bad as what I thought. Let me tell you, it's worse. It's worse than you could ever imagine. You say, how can you say that, preacher? The book of Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 9 says, the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And friend, let me tell you, the sinner's heart, the natural heart of the sinner, is not only sick. I want to tell you, the word of God says it is desperately wicked. It is deceitful. Men and women deceive themselves about their situation and about the reality of what's going on in their heart. You see, the word of God says there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then God says, the wages of your sin. And there's not one of us without that diagnosis, friend. God says, for all have sinned. There's the diagnosis of God about man's heart. And God says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The word of God says that sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. And that is how serious your heart's condition is, friend. Now listen, I'll tell you what you can do. You can close your ears now, and you say, I've heard enough for the preacher for tonight. You can run away from the facts, friend, but I want to tell you this. You may run as far as you can from those facts, but I want to tell you, there's coming a day whenever those facts will stand and they'll stare you straight in the face when the books are open and your life and the story of your life is read at the judgment throne of God, where Revelation chapter 20 says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And I want to tell you, my friend, it's only a fool. It's only a fool that waits until the day of judgment to hear the record of their lives being read and to realize, as those sins are rising from the book, every last one of them crying out to God Almighty for judgment, for judgment, for judgment, and it'll come. Why don't you face the facts now? Why don't you face up to the reality of your heart tonight? Why don't you have the courage tonight, listen, to be honest with your own heart? You know, the Bible says, if we say that we have no sin, listen to these words, we deceive ourselves. You hear that? If we say that we have no sin, and let me tell you, there's multitudes in Porta Down tonight, and let me tell you, you'll never find them in a gospel mission because they think they don't need to be there. They'll never come to Christ because they don't see their need of Jesus. They think they're good enough. I go to church, I say my prayers, I read my Bible, I do this, I do that. Surely that's good enough for God. Let me tell you, my friend, your heart might be good enough for you, but it's not good enough for God. God demands, he says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. And there's not one of us, there's not one of us are guiltless. We've broken the law of God. We've broken the law of God. You see, my friend, the sinful question and the question of our sins, a painful thing. Nobody wants to face it. So we want to deceive ourselves. What an awful thing that a man or a woman, a boy or a girl, would live in Portadown in this district of Craigavon, and you go through life, friend, listen, and you're deceiving yourself. It's not that you're deceiving somebody else. You've got so low you've started to deceive yourself, and you think you're all right. I'm all right, Jack. I don't need God's salvation. I don't need God's Son. I don't need God, the blood of Jesus Christ, to cleanse me from my sin. I'll make it out my way. And friend, you're facing the day of judgment when you'll stand before God. Well, the Bible says about man's heart in the book of Isaiah chapter 1 and the verse 6, it says this, from the sole of the foot even to the head, unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. What does that say? We're totally sinners from head to toe. You read the book of Romans chapter 3, friend, and you'll see every party is affected by sin. And there's not one of us any different. We read in Psalm 51, it says, and in sin did my mother conceive me. That did not say that we were born out of wedlock. That's not what we're speaking about. Where every last one of us born with a nature, a sinful nature. Let me tell you, my friend, you've got children and I have children, I have grandchildren, and I'll tell you what you didn't have to do. You didn't have to teach one of them to do wrong. Isn't that amazing? You never had to teach one of them to tell you a lie, look you straight in the face and say, Mommy, I didn't do that. Daddy, I didn't do that. And friend, you knew they were as guilty as sin. And they look there with that look of innocence upon them, friend. Let me tell you, and they're lying through their teeth. And you never had to teach them to lie. Isn't that amazing? Now it's amazing, listen, you have to teach them to do ABC, and you have to teach them how to spell, and you have to teach them what two and two were and what three and three was. You have to teach them all that, but you never have to teach them to tell a lie. You never have to teach them to take something that didn't belong to them. Maybe it was a sweet, now it wasn't theirs, but that wasn't stealing, was it not? If it wasn't yours, friend, then it was. But you didn't have to teach them to do that. Tell me why. Because of a sinful nature. And every last one of us in this meeting tonight, let me tell you, in sin did my mother conceive me. Yes, every last one of us have the nature of sin. And the word of God's very clear in Isaiah chapter 1. Let me tell you, friend, we're a total mess as far as sin's concerned. From the sole of our foot to the crown of our head, there's not no soundness, there's not but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. And they've never been bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Proverbs 14:9 says, fools make a mock at sin. A man who laughs at sin, friend, is a fool. That's what God says. He's a fool. Why? Because sin's an awful thing in the sight of God, friend. Sin will take you to hell. Now the catechism asks the question, what is sin? For you to understand what I'm talking about tonight, the Bible, or the catechism says, and here's just a summary of doctrine. Sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. Now you'll notice the commandments, they're divided in two. I spoke about that last night. There are those which are in your relationship with man, and there's those in your relationship with God. And man has broken both. But what do you notice about the commandments? They're divided also in two, because God says, thou shalt not. And man says, I will. You see, man's a rebel. Man's a rebel against God. And man will not take God's way, friend, but he wants his own way. You notice the word S-I-N, three little letters. What's the center one? I. Well, that sums it all up, isn't it? That's what sin is. Rebellion against God. It's my way. I way. I'll do it my way. And friend, that's how men and women are living tonight. And they're rushing on their way to hell, and they're laughing, and they're joking, and they're drinking, and they're dancing on their way to hell. I'm doing it my way. But you see, somehow they're telling themselves, listen, no, I'm not going to hell. I'll escape it. God will overlook my sin. You see, I'll not have to face my sin. And friend, all we're doing is this. We're deceiving ourselves. And we're laughing at sin. And God says, fools, make a mock at sin. God also not only says, thou shalt not, and man says, I will. And God says, thou shalt, and man says, I won't. It's any want of conformity unto. I'm not going to conform to what God says. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. I'll have whatever God I want. Last night we looked at a man in the scriptures, let me tell you, and there was a God in his life, it was his money. Oh, I know there's an awful lot of people, you know, and they can laugh and they can say, would I tell you something? You know, money, I just love it. I wish it was my God. I'll tell you, friend. Maybe it's not money. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a position. Because let me tell you, there's some people that do anything to get a position. They don't care who they hurt. They don't care who they tramp over. They don't care what lies they have to tell, as long as they get it. And they have a God in their life, and God says, thou shall have no other God before me. You say, well, I'll have whoever I want. And men and women bow down before their own idols, and God says, thou shalt, and man says, no, I won't. I'll do what I want to do. And that's what it says in the book of Judges. Every man did that which is right in his own eyes. And you know, we live in a society. You know, they say, you know, nobody has any right to tell me what to do. That's the kind of a society we're living in. I should be able to do whatever I want. Let me tell you, remember this is a price to be paid. The wages of sin, the Word of God says, is death. There's a price for your sin. It is any want of conformity onto or transgression of. You're going beyond the boundaries that God has set. No, God has no right to set a boundary for me. Yes, he has, friend. He's the God that made you. I'll tell you something else. He's the God that you're going to face. And that's why Amos the prophet cried out. He says, prepare to meet thy God, for be sure of this fact, friend. Surer than the sun will rise tomorrow morning, you're going to meet God someday. Whether you want it or not. Whether you believe it or not, friend, you're going to meet God, because the Bible says that God hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world by that man whom he hath ordained. God's made the appointment. You're not going to break it. It is appointed unto man once to die. Listen, my friend, it is appointed unto him, not by him. And men and women want to run away from the reality of death. God says, I have the appointment set. And on the calendar of God, my friend, the appointment's already made. And you don't know the day and you don't know the hour, but God does. And God has set the event. And the purposes of God and the plan of God will be fulfilled, because he was the one that started the clock of your life, and he's the one that's going to finish it as far as time's concerned. There's something you'll learn, and every one of us will learn, friend. Listen, you're not in control. You're not boss. Oh, you may think you are. You may think you're the one that's in control. You're on the driving seat. Give me the wheel in my hand. I'm the one that's driving the vehicle of my life. Let me tell you, my friend. It was God that planned the day of your birth, and it's God that planned the day of your death. And God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world, because as it says, it is appointed unto men once to die. And after this, God's appointed the judgment. God's in control. So just before you flex your muscle, friend, before you start, be bold and say, listen, you can do whatever you like. Listen, yes, you can. Until the day you meet God. But remember, that life you'll give an account of. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And every man was judged out of the things according to their works. You see, listen, there's a lot of your life that maybe you want to forget. But sinners, it's in the book. And one day when you stand before God and that book's open, friend, and you stand there in your sin, every last sin of your life will come up before you, and every last sin will cry for the judgment of God upon it. And you'll stand in the presence of a righteous and a holy Savior. For God has appointed the day in which he will judge the world by that man whom he hath ordained. Who's the man on the throne, friend? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Better to face your sin tonight. Get it dealt with. Better to be honest with your soul tonight and get it dealt with. Whenever David cried out, we read in that Psalm 51, he cried, he said, have mercy upon me, O God. According to thy loving kindness, according to thy tender mercies. He wasn't boasting. He wasn't saying what a great fellow he was. No, friend, let me tell you, David was a king. And he sinned like you and me. He sinned against a righteous and a holy God. And one day the Nathan the prophet came into the presence of the king. And he told, as God gave him the message, he told David about the little ewe lamb. And David thought he was talking about somebody else. And David says, you tell me who he is. You tell me who this man is, and I'll deal with him. The one who took the wee ewe lamb from a man who had only got the one. And he had plenty, but somehow he wanted that little ewe lamb. And David rose up in a righteous, unrighteous indignation. And he says, you tell me who he is. And Nathan the prophet looked him straight between the eyes. And this is what he said. King, thou art the man. It's you. Let me tell you, my friend, David's not laughing now. David's not standing in rage thinking of how he is going to judge somebody else. No, the prophet says, David, thou art the man. And friend, that's what God's going to say when the day you stand before God, I'm dealing with you. You're the man in the book. This is a record of the life that you have lived. And your sins stand before you in the presence of a holy God. David cried out, O God, have mercy. Have mercy upon me. He wasn't crying out for merit. He was crying out for mercy. And he said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. He says, blot out my transgressions. He says, Lord, wash me thoroughly, through and through, from my sin. And as you listen to that and as you read that passage of God's word, friend, notice, my sin, my transgressions, mine iniquities. Not talking about somebody else. Remember one night, the preacher had led a dear lady to the Lord, and he went to visit a member of his congregation. And in this house, it was a very respectable home and a very hoity-toity lady. And she, in the midst of the conversation with the minister, she says to him, I believe Mrs. So-and-so got converted the other night. He said, yes, isn't that wonderful? Oh, says the lady, my, but didn't she need it? And he says, I looked at the woman that was sitting before me, and let me tell you this, she was as sinful as ever could be, but she was one of these self-righteous sinners. And he said, I looked her between the eyes and says, and madam, and so do you. And it's easy to point out somebody else. It's like a person says, when you're pointing the finger, remember this, there's three pointing back. Just you forget about the person sitting beside you tonight. God will deal with them. It's you and God. Just you and God, friend. And the books are opened. My son! My sin, the brat that nobody wants to own. My sin. Oh, it's somebody else's sin. God says it's yours. It's mine. He said these words. Verse number 3, he says, I acknowledge my transgressions. And then he said this. He says, my sin is ever before me. Listen, it was staring him in the eyes. Now, I asked your friend honestly before God, friend. And remember, you're in the day of grace and you're in the day of opportunity, God's opportunity for you to be saved and get right with God. Listen, have you ever honestly confessed this fact? God, I'm a sinner. Me, the sinner. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And David cried out, he says, I acknowledge my transgressions. And then he said this, my sin is ever before me. Against thee, the only God, have I sinned. And friend, that's how serious sin is. Now David sinned against Uriah, his friend that was willing to go into battle for him, his faithful soldier. David sinned against Bathsheba. David sinned against his family. David sinned against his own soul. And yet he's acknowledging, listen, friend, when it's all done and dusted, your sin's against God. You're sinning in the face of a holy God. Against thee, the only have I sinned. Friend, have you ever thought of what sin does to a man? You ever thought of what sin is doing to you tonight? Listen, sin deceives a man. The book of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, it says, be not deceived. God's not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. We're in a field tonight, a farmer's field. And there's not one tonight in this place that knows when a farmer sows wheat, he doesn't expect to get barley. If a man sows barley, he doesn't expect to get potatoes. When he sows barley, he's going to get barley. Now, he might get a few weeds, but he expects to get barley. Friend, tell me, what do you expect to get at the end of your sowing of sin? You expect God to pat you in the back, a holy God? Say, you're a good fella. Come on in. Come on in. Heaven's a holy place. But come on in anyhow. Heaven's a sinful place. But come on in anyhow. You're deceiving yourself. You know, friend, that's... when a man gets to such a position like that, it's not an awful position of man. Listen, he's not deceiving somebody else, he's deceiving himself. himself. And friend, if you think that you can sin a life of sin and get away with it, if you think that you can sin and that God won't bring you to account for your sin, let me tell you, you're lying to yourself, you're deceiving yourself. That's what God's word says. Be not deceived, listen, for God's not mocked. You're deceiving yourself, but you're mocking God, friend. Listen, and God's not mocked. Because let me tell you, sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. You see, friend, sin deceives a man. Listen, you remember Adam in the garden? Do you remember whenever the devil, the serpent came to Eve? And whenever the serpent drew her attention to that forbidden fruit, the fruit that God says, listen, of all of those trees in the garden, thou mayest eat thereof, but the day, Adam, thou eatest thereof, of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that day thou shalt surely die. And isn't it amazing? That was the one that the devil drew Eve's attention to. Never looked at any of the rest of them. Is that one tree? And he says, are you sure God said that? He challenged the authority of God, friend. Are you sure half God said? Are you sure? And you know, whenever the preacher stands up and he preaches God's word, the devil says to you, you know, it's not going to be as serious as that. I know others may not get away, but you'll get away with it. Do it in the dark so nobody will see you. Mother will never see it. Young person, you can do it. Do it in the darkness and mom and dad will never know. Let me tell you, friend, there's someone higher than mom and dad. There's God. And thou, God, seest me and thou knowest me. Listen, all together. He knows you through and through. He knows every last sin you've ever committed, friend, because it's in the book of record. And the devil said to Eve, thou shalt not surely die. God knows the day that you take of that fruit, you'll become as God. You'll become your own God. And you know, friend, what the devil was saying is, you know, sin will lift you up. You'll really get happiness through sin. And friend, whenever we read the passage of God's word, we're talking about the fall of man, not the elevation of man. And man fell in the garden. See, the devil's a liar. John chapter 8, verse 44. Jesus said, the devil's a liar from the beginning. But you're happy to listen to his lies, aren't you? Oh, I'm not going to get saved tonight. Listen, the devil said, she have plenty of time. She can wait till the last night of the mission. Let me tell you, friend, this could be your last night in a meeting. And the mission will go on. But you'll have passed on. But the devil says there's plenty of time. You see, the devil's a liar. And you're supping with a devil's spoon. And you're promising yourself another day, another meeting, another mission. The devil's a liar. Sin's a deceiver. For sin deceives. It's a deception. Sin divides. The word of God says in Isaiah chapter 59, your sins have separated between you and God. Do you remember David had a son? His name was Absalom. And one day Absalom, who rebelled against his father, reaped the harvest of his sin. And Absalom died. David followed him to the burial place. And as he stood there at the burial place of his son, he cried these words, "O Absalom, O Absalom, my son Absalom, would God that I had died for thee." Why did he say that, friend? Because David was ready to go, and his son was lost. "I'd gladly have died for you, Absalom. I'd gladly have stood in your place, Absalom. Because you're separated from me forever." And David said, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." David died and went to heaven. And Absalom died and went to hell. Why? Because sin separates you. And maybe there's a husband here tonight, and you're not saved and your wife's saved. Let me tell you, whenever death comes, there's going to be a great separation. And she's going to heaven, and you're going down to hell. But you never thought, "That's the price of my sin." Maybe it's the other way about. Maybe it's a husband that's saved and the wife's not saved. Maybe it's children saved and mommy and daddy's not saved. And friend, let me tell you, you say, "I love those children." And yet, friend, those children are going to heaven and you're going to hell. And you'll be separated from them forever and ever in the blackness of darkness forever. And they, in the light of the Savior's presence in the glory land. But there's a gulf between you. Forever. But you never thought, that's the price of your sin. Yes, your sin. You see, sin not only deceives, sin divides. Sin does something else, friend. Sin devours. I remember a young man in Macrofelt many years ago. I was holding a gospel mission just like this, a tent mission. And God laid this young man in my heart. His mum was a Sunday school teacher of mine. And God laid him upon my heart as we were starting the gospel mission. And a friend of mine and I went to see him. Waited for him on the Saturday night before the mission started on the Sunday afternoon. He didn't come home till about 1 o'clock in the morning. He was staggering his way home, and as he was about going to the house, we called him over to the car and we sat and we talked to him about eternal things. We knew his mum was concerned about him and burdened about him. And we invited him to the gospel mission, and he said, "Well, I'm not sure. I don't think I'll be there." Well, I said, "The invitation's there for you. We start the mission tomorrow afternoon. We'd love to see you." First week of the mission passed. It came to the Thursday night of the last week of the mission. And I remember well, I was just about to go out to the prayer meeting, and the telephone rang. It was the police station. The inspector said, "Mr. McRae, this is Macrofelt Police Station. There's a young man here. He wants to see you." I said, "Well, I'll be up. I'm going to the mission tonight, but I'll be up as soon as I can." And I made my way to the police station. And the inspector called me in and he said, "Mr. McRae, now this young man," and he gave me the person's name. And who was it? Young fella, the night before the mission started, we invited to the gospel mission. He says, "I want to tell you, Mr. McRae, this young lad wants to see you, but he's going to court tomorrow." I said, "What's the charge?" He says, "Murder." And just whenever he had said that, the door opened and the young man walked in, and the tears were running down his cheeks and he was wringing his hands. I'll never forget it. And as he saw me there, he says, "Surely not, surely not, surely not." And then he looked me between the eyes and he said, "Mr. McRae, I'm a murderer. I'm a murderer." He cried like a child. I talked with him for some time and I prayed with that young fella. I was going out through the door and he turned to me and he said, "Mr. McRae, tell me, are you going to the mission tonight?" I said, "Yes, son, that's where I'm going." He says, "Oh, I wish I was going with you." Then it wasn't a mission he was going to. It's a prison cell. From that Saturday night onto the Thursday week, that young fella committed a murder. He was sentenced. He was crying. Remember this. Sin will take you further than you want to go. Sin will cost you far more than you want to pay. And sin will keep you longer than you ever wanted to stay. But sin will take you to hell. For the wages of sin is death. Sin devours. But there's something else, quickly. Sin will damn. Sin when it is finished. And here's a poor soul, and they lived as a faithful servant of sin. They've done everything that sin has demanded of them to do. Sin has gripped them and turned them inside out, put the chains upon them, and devoured and destroyed and defiled and deceived, and even divided them from their loved ones. And at the very end of it, sin, when it's finished, when it's finished with you, friend, it takes you to hell. That's the wages. I tell you, before God, every one of the devil's apples has worms in them. It may look rosy on the outside, but friend, I can tell you, it'll damn you in the lowest hell when it's finished with you. Served you well. I served you faithfully. And then the wages pays you out. Separation from God forever. Sin, what is finished, bringeth forth death. But thank God, sin can be forgiven. David cried out, "Have mercy upon me, O God." He found out that sin was a painful thing, and sin hurt, and he cried out, he said, "Wash me, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. O God, wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth, listen, from all sin. And if you turn from your sin, if you repent of your sin tonight, and you turn away from that sin and turn to Christ, If we confess our sins, 1 John 1 verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful, he is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The devil says, there's no hope for you. Look at the life you lived. Look at the sin you've been in. Let me tell you, friend, remember, the devil's a liar. There's forgiveness with the Lord. You know what he says? Hebrews 10, verse 17. And your sins and iniquities, listen to this, will I remember no more. Blotted out. Blotted out. You say to me, preacher, can all my past be forgiven? Glory to God, there's power in the blood of the Lamb. We're trying to get the message through the land. There's power in the blood of the Lamb. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon received. Your sin can be forgiven, friend. But you can't hold on to it. You've got to turn from it and turn to Christ and thank God he's the Savior of sinners. That's good news. And he's passing this way. Thank God you can be saved tonight. Let me tell you, I don't know your past, friend, and I don't need to. You're not confessing it to a priest tonight. You confess it to the Lord. Take your sin and the burden of it and the pain of it and the hurt of it and all that it brings to your heart. And thank God there's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all. Do you hear that? Lose all the guilty stain. I do believe, I will believe that Jesus died for me. That on the cross he shed his blood from sin to set me free. You can go home forgiven tonight. With this I close. A wee man that used to guard me. Away in the early years when the police were with me and they used to guard me. And one day I got a call from his wife and she says, Mr. McRae, my husband wants to see you. He was nearly blind. And I went to see him. And he says, Mr. McRae, I remember your preaching down the years. And I need to get saved. I never forget the joy of leading him to Jesus Christ that day in his own front room, his own living room. And then when his wife came in, this is the words he says, Mr. McRae, I feel clean. I feel clean. I says, that's right. Cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Friend, you can be clean tonight. You can go home clean. The past dealt with. Under the blood. And God says your sins, which are many, are forgiven you. Go in peace.